Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
As a Southern River band would Let It Ride bring us in, Ronnie, the 4WD podcast driven by Shelter is back, and currently we are on a salt lake. So if we wanted to find ourselves on Instagram or on YouTube at the moment at Backchat Studios or the 4WD podcast, we couldn't because there's no service out here.
There's no service here.
We've got around the fire pit with Maxis. I've got the Maxis on the truck back there, mate.
Yeah,
looking
mate.
Very pretty, and we're not going to test them too far into this salt lake just in case we drop down. But mate, you've landed us on a beautiful spot on this camping trip.
Yeah, I thought you guys might like it. I mean, I gave you two options last night. One was the bush,
yep,
and one was the salt lake, surrounded by bush.
And what did the voice from above choose?
Mate, the voice from beyond. You guys were a fair bit behind because of the dust. When you guys got within signal, I heard Jaden. He was like, "Did you hear what I said before? I'm saying salt lake."
Yeah. We were eight.
I was screaming on the radio, salt lake.
Jaden kept saying, "Hello." Hello. I was like, I don't think they got you, mate. But no, we speak about the track in though. We're not going to disclose where we are because this
it's a bit of a secret spot, a little bit selfish of us,
but yeah. You know, like there's plenty of salt lakes around. This is just the one that you've, you know, is yours.
There's plenty of salt lakes around. I'm not going to claim this as mine, but there are no tire tracks out here. Yeah. And I want to keep it that way.
Pretty untouched.
As soon as you disclose where salt lake is, they get driven on.
Well, it's pretty specky. I've never camped on here, but the back to that track in, it was just like we measured it. We might have lost contact about 7 Ks, 7.5 Ks from each other.
Yeah, there was a few hills in between. I think even like at 3 Ks, Rafa was dropping out as well.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, because Rafa was between us.
Yes, yeah.
In the troopy. His antenna's on the front.
Mine's on the front, but I've got the high one up. So
yeah.
I would have had some good clearance, but yeah, the dust from so if Rafa was 2 to 3 Ks behind you, we were probably 4 Ks at least behind Rafa.
It was thick.
And it was hanging around thick on the road. It was tough, very tough going.
I know I was in front, but it was. I know how thick it was because he had that truck come the other way.
Yeah, just bellows of dust.
Yeah. Bastard didn't slow down. I had to pull over to the side. Couldn't see anything. So I can only imagine what it'll be like for you guys because you got Rafa's my dust, and you've got Rafa's dust, my dust, the truck's dust. You had to pull up for a while, eh?
Yeah, well, we got down to like probably 20, 30 Ks. We copped the truck in a like a little dip, little valley thing, there was not a breath. We've had wind every other moment of the
one
the
time
trip,
we need wind,
and the one time we needed it, it just disappeared. But it made for once we got here and the moon came up. We had almost a full moon last night. It was it was unlike anything I'd really seen or camped
on
specky. Before. Yeah,
it was specky. But one other thing that was a bit out there was when we're looking out there, you kept catching like these lights in the eye, and we thought, what's going on, Duggo?
Yeah, well, we're just
too many shelters or what? And then we saw it.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I was happy because Jono and Rafa had just gone to bed. So there was only the three of us left. So no wonder they don't believe us when we woke up this morning. But we saw some...
It was strange.
Some strange lights in the sky. And I'm not a big believer in all of that, but there was something...
There was something
there.
There
was something constantly moving. I don't know if it was four things going around in a loop or if it was one... Like, was people bizarre. Are going to think we're crazy,
We thought it was a power line getting some reflection. There's no power line out here. I don't know. We thought atmospheric. And then we thought...
Thought it was pretty close.
Yeah.
We went through it all. I don't think... Sorry about the flies too, people. The big live audience today there.
Oh, mate, this is nice. There's not many flies.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're in a salt lake, so you get a slight breeze. Had we been up in the bush, you'd be copping way more.
I reckon you'd be able to hear them on the mic. But anyway, some weird shit going on.
Yeah, some weird shit.
It probably wasn't that weird. There's probably a very clear and easy explanation for it.
I'm putting my money on that it was just meteorites, but on a really low on the horizon. But it was just really bizarre how it was in that one spot the whole time. Yeah. And we still saw, the planet Mars slowly going down.
Yeah.
The voice from beyond was saying, get your camera out and take a shot and let's have a closer look.
Oh, yeah.
An hour later, I get the camera. I should have got it earlier. So it was a bit of a late night.
It was a late night then. And an early morning.
Sometimes you guys don't listen to me.
Oh, no, I know.
What was that?
Sometimes you don't listen to me.
What was that?
What's that?
Got ya.
Fuck.
We're a bit tired, aren't we?
It's early.
It's
It feels like it's 10 a.m., but it's what, 7 a.m. at the moment? We're pretty much...
Sun caught us out this morning, eh?
Oh, I didn't expect that. I'm not willing to put my money on what that was, but yeah, there's something going on. And you've got proof now on your camera, so...
I do. I've got proof.
If anyone wants to
see the photos, just give us a DM.
Or explain it for us, please.
Yeah,
there's probably an easy explanation. I know I met an astronomer at the Adelaide Four-Wheel Drive Show recently.
Was it Tim, you were saying?
I think it was Tim. I think it was Tim. But if he's listening to the podcast, maybe hit us up.
Yeah, get in contact.
Is Tim we gave the Maxis giveaway to?
I think he did get a prize or asked a question. I'm not too sure. And it may not be Tim, so... I met an astronomer who has a YouTube channel, so hopefully he is listening and we can figure this out.
Get in touch, and if your name is Tim, please get in touch, Tim. And what I'll do, if you get in touch, I'll then post the photos on my feed and I'll tag Tim.
Oh,
hopefully,
nice.
Hopefully it's Tim.
Very nice. Yeah, if it's not Tim, sorry.
Mr. T.
it was incredible, but back to the landscape that we're on. I think hopefully we can layer in some footage. I think Rafa got some footage earlier on of how we're operating out here, and it's really beautiful, you don't really want to leave.
The voice from beyond. Are we able to put one of those photos up of the salmon gum?
We'll be overlaying a bunch of different footage on YouTube. So,
right.
So I'll put up some photos on Instagram as well. When the episode comes out, but the people will be able to see.
Awesome. So, folks, I encourage you jump over on YouTube after you listen to this, maybe, and just have a look at some of the photos.
Yeah, it's good. The voice from beyond also would like to see those photos because he was still sleeping when we were looking at the salmon gum, so he'd be seeing those for the first time.
Fly
number one.
Oh, my
fly
God.
Fly number one.
That's disgusting. How early were you guys up? Because when I woke up, it was 6.
Mate, I heard
and
Rafa.
I thought that was like, I was like, fuck, I'm up early.
Rafa went to the men's room. He reckons it was 5:30. I reckon it was 4:30. And I could see this beautiful orange aurora on the edge.
Yeah.
The sun was just rising. And then I picked up my phone to have a look. And I was like, oh, no, it's 4:30.
Yeah.
I went to bed at 1.
Yeah, we went to bed quite late. You went to bed, Duggo.
Yep.
And then we grabbed the camera out and started taking photos of whatever was going on.
Yeah. I could hear his, frolicking around out there in the salt lake.
Frolicking is a good word. We were doing a bit of frolicking, weren't
actually,
we?
Actually, we found...
Where's the camera?
What about what you saw? We saw emu prints last night, but about the... might be another photo you have to put up and tag the emu in it if he's around. Because that was a... That's a big emu print. John, I reckon, is of size 11.
I've got to try and tag the correct emu, though, because there's a few out there. There's like an intersection out there. There's like emu prints going across each other. It's really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. some more photos here. I've got like my size 13 boot and then this massive emu print next to it, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And you know what? I would love to see an emu when I have a camera in my hand running across. We've seen some before.
Oh, yeah. How's the heat distortion? Turn your head 30 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's gone.
Speaking of heat distortion, out near, you know, the my favourite place, the east southwest of Western Australia,
which we drove past not long ago.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
From a distance.
Yeah, yeah. Across the highway. So down there on the Salt Lakes, I had a tag along crew down there once, and we saw what we thought was a two-legged camel. It looked like a two-legged camel. Turns out the heat distortion was bouncing back, and it was just an emu.
Was it massive, or was it just...
It looked bigger than what it was.
Yeah, right.
It was just this... It was weird.
Yeah.
And everyone, there was like 12-car convoy. Everyone's looking and going, what is that?
Thank God there was a 12-car convoy, because if you had said that closely after what we just spoke about seeing in the sky.
Yeah, maybe it was a emu running across the sky that we saw.
I'm just glad there's proof of all of this for Ronnie, because otherwise we'd be thinking he's gone mad.
Otherwise we'll sound crazy. We wouldn't have talked about this if we didn't get the photos.
No, 100%. Yeah. No, we agreed on that last night.
Should we be talking about this at all?
Probably not. We should talk about camp setups, actually.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because
we've got
in the background the humble abode, my swag, which is a pretty bloody big swag.
That is a big swag.
And obviously the Ranger in the back. And then we've got the roof-converted Troopy, which is just looking like an animal on the roads. And the tracks last night when we got into camp, obviously it was in the dark, it was all lit up. And
all the party lights and everything.
The party lights were on. Rafa had the party lights on. It looked... We pulled up behind Rafa when he was waiting at the marker for us, and it was like we thought it was an army tank. It genuinely looked that tough. But back to the setup.
Yeah.
The ease that you are getting into bed with at night.
It helped last night getting to bed so late. You know,
yeah,
when I swag it, I'm notorious for rolling up my swag at the very end of the night. I'm the last. Sometimes I'll sit in my swag.
Oh, like setting it up.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone goes to bed and I'm like, oh, shit.
You're still going
to
get
set my swag up.
Yeah.
And then I'll set it up in the dark.
Yeah, I think that's why I have to do it as soon as I get to camp.
It's the best way.
So, you know, the old tins before tents and all that stuff. I am tent before tins.
Well, you know what happened the other night when I went tins before tents? I dropped my tin, remember?
Oh, you did too, yeah.
And we were very low on tins.
Lost a tin and then straight to tents. But yeah, so yourself and Rafa with the Bloopy roof conversion as well, it is literally 30 seconds.
It's clip, Velcro, rip, push up.
That's it. What's the company that did you the conversion?
Oh, Mulgo. It's a Mulgo, but it's
that should be their cash cry.
Expedition Centre. Daniel from Expedition Centre.
Ah, right. That's got to be their cash cry, doesn't it? Yeah. What was it?
Family business run in Australia. Australian made.
Yeah, right.
Just want to drop that in there.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't mind a little plug here and there.
So, Daniel, if you're listening, it's click, Velcro, rip, push up. I don't know, I just made it up there.
I like it.
Have you guys got the same rooftop?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, it is.
Rafa's will be much easier to open because he doesn't have anything on top, so it'll be nice and light. Although he will have to use a little bit more muscle to pull it down.
So you've got the same awning as Rafa, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yep. Because I held some of the pieces at the show that Rafa is using in his awning. And they're so lightweight that when I saw Rafa hanging off it today, I was so shocked to see. I poked my head out the swag and Rafa was setting up and he's hanging off his awning to set up that cool little pole that sits up top to create the...
If a gust of wind, like some of the winds that we've been experiencing, if they get hold of it, you know, they'll just bend arms otherwise.
Yeah, but I was shocked to see when I felt that. Like, I was shocked when I held the pieces in at the show, but then I hadn't seen it in full flight yet.
I just like how the arms are telescopic and it gives you that square shape.
And that's what he was saying. He got the design from
from the
standard old
last night. Yeah, the standard morning. With the round poles. And
yeah, that's
he had
right.
trouble finding the round poles. So there's been a bit of R&D. done in that one, that's for sure. But yeah, hats off to them, you know.
Yeah, it's a bloody quality product. So we've been cooking, so we haven't bought food since we left at the start of the trip. So we haven't bought any more food post-leaving.
Post-leaving South Australia, what did we have? We have three meals.
Yep.
And the last one we ate last night.
Yes, that I'll was bloody what, good.
Jono
missed out. Jono, big time.
Jono missed out, mate. Oh, how good was, mate?
Yeah.
It was Jono's recipe too.
Kind of happy Jono wasn't there though, because we got a decent amount of seconds.
Honestly, there was the pot was nearly overflowing. I was like, boys, I hope you're hungry.
Yeah.
So we had Thai green curry. I used the whole jar of the paste. You're supposed to use 2 tablespoons. So you put the whole jar in.
A little bit hot for Jaden and Rafa. Pretty good for us.
Mate, it was good. And then 2 packs of rice, 1 kilo of chicken.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't think we need to eat on the way back.
Nah, I'm pretty right. But you nailed the pork roast the night before.
Yeah, accidentally nailed it.
Accidentally nailed it, which is, the crackle was some of the best I've ever had.
I can't believe the way the crackle happened. So normally you put it in the Weber, because we had it in your Weber.
Yep, a little baby cute.
And then we smash the heat, right? And then you get that crustacean on top. You get the crackle. And then you turn it right down, you cook the rest. We did it reverse because the wind was so bad. And then also overloaded your Weber queue up.
Yeah, it was, used to the big one. It was busy in there.
It was very busy. So the convection just couldn't do anything. So it was like slow cooked. It was literally slow cooked for 3 hours, maybe more.
Yeah, it probably was more, to be honest.
And then I sorted it out and then smashed the heat. And it was, I agree. Yeah, it was some of the best crackle.
Yeah, and I've then ever had. We've had, so last night was on the, just on the stove here at the back of Raffa's.
Yep.
Weber Q for dinner, plus a little bit of rice with it.
We've been eating a lot of rice, haven't we?
And then.
The first night. Steaks.
The cowboy steaks.
Yeah.
Straight on the fire.
Straight on the coals, yeah.
Straight on the coals, sorry. And came up an absolute treat. What do we have with that?
We had our mash.
Jalapeno mash. Oh, yeah, the jalapeno mash. Yeah, that was good too. Yeah. Yeah, talk us through the
whole process.
Yeah, well, go on, give us the whole process. Yeah.
All right, so the steaks, I actually made a mistake there as well. I forgot to oil the steaks. I salted and peppered them, and what you do, you're supposed to oil them after that. Towel dry them at the start, of course. You make a nice bed of coals. To get that, it's best to use sticks that are like the size of your thumb. Burn all that down, get it really hot. And just keep doing that till you have a nice bit of coals. Then you grab your meat and you throw it straight on the coals. Not on the fire. You need the fire to be burnt down. You can burn around it, but where the coals are, you slap it straight on it.
Yep.
And the amount of intense heat that's in those coals, you're looking at 500 to sometimes 700 degrees Celsius.
Right.
That just instantly caramelizes the sugars in the blood and just seals that steak. And it is absolutely amazing. But you've got to be careful. You leave it on for about a minute, pick it up, flip it over, preferably on another section of really hot coals.
Yep.
If you can. If not, right where it is. And that will then seal the other side, but no more than 2 minutes tops. Take it off, let it rest, and you'll have one of the best steaks you will ever have. And it's not sandy.
No, it wasn't. I was surprised by that, actually.
Yeah.
Jono is saying, make sure you grab wood without sand, as little sand as you can, but like, of course you can't avoid it completely, but it was chewing on anything else other than steak.
You just gotta make sure that whatever tree or plant you're burning is not poisonous or toxic.
Yes.
As well, make sure the fire is clean as well. So you'd almost want to have a fire next to the fire pit, and then when you're done, scoop it up into the fire pit.
Because
people burn all kinds of stuff in fires, and you don't want plastic and aluminium through your food.
Yeah. What about those little packets of
The mash
and the eggs?
So this is something Jono put me onto. You can get mashed potato frozen. So all you got to do is just warm it up. And just warm it up nice and slow. Throw a shit ton of butter in there.
Yeah.
Jalapenos, and just
bit of
just
cheese.
Let it go. Yeah, cheese as well. You get that little stringy texture in it. Sorry, listeners, if you're getting hungry.
Yeah,
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
We haven't had brekkie this morning, have we?
No, we haven't. We had a muesli bar.
Oh, that's right.
And 2 coffees.
I don't think I need the second, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I might just hold off. Yeah, so it's been...
Good meal.
Great meal. But
we've been eating a lot.
We have been. We've been eating well, and that's what Jade and I were saying in the car. We haven't, since the shops, apart from a snack here and there at the, you know, maybe top chocolate up, or I've got some pods in the back, which I forgot to bring out last night. But anyway, it was that one shop in Adelaide. We sort of shared the shopping a little bit.
You guys did all the lunches. We did the dinners.
Yeah, and we had a little bit of, everyone had a little bit of stuff left over in the fridges anyway, so it was kind of...
It's getting pretty empty now.
Poor Rafa is about to do the Holland track.
Yeah, and he was going to offer us his eggs this morning.
He was going to offer his eggs this morning, and I've got completely nothing to offer him back. Unfortunately, I've got like that much milk that he can have. But it's been good. It's been a really good, I suppose, it's not an eye-opener, because I knew what camp meals entailed and what it was all about. But I love coming across from South Australia and not having to rely on the roadhouses for food. Like, we relied on them for fuel, obviously, but then we've been able to eat really well, good, decent meals.
Definitely.
Not going hungry.
You don't have to just eat simple stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And often just a method with simple stuff, you can make it taste so much better as well, rather than relying on sauces and stuff, although we like a bit of sauce.
Yeah, there's been some good options for the condiments there. But
we're running low on them too.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we are running low on. We had another crack at Wheel Nut Roulette.
Ooh.
And again, a little bit of a downer for us, because... Jono lost again.
Jono lost again.
And the
punishment. He had two choices.
Yeah, he had... Oh, geez, wasn't he quick to... So anyway, the story goes, we arrived here at camp and we'd laid the swags out and stuff like that. And mine was still rolled up and I was struggling a little bit, just like, I don't know why. Easy task. But I was
in the dark, maybe?
Yeah, that probably helps. I was struggling to just sort of unclip it for some reason. And I thought to myself... Hang on, I don't need to be doing this. Is it? We're meant to play Wheel Nut Roulette.
You may not need to be doing it, but
The risk was that it was going to be me anyway. And then
you set up everyone's swag.
Yeah, so then I was like, if I go and check this in, it's me. I'm setting everyone up here.
Yeah.
But walk around the tyre and there's Jono. And I reckon Jono might have actually checked it before I had and maybe kept that one quiet. But he was pretty... So we had the option of another...
Yeah, habanero.
I don't think I say that properly. Habanero.
I think it's all right.
Something like that. The hot chili.
Yeah, yeah.
Or set up camp, and of course he chose the chili, and it was just another snack for Rafa. Rafa is pissing again.
He's having a piss off while we're having. That is my view. While we're sitting here doing a podcast, I'm looking over at his beautiful salmon gums, and there's Rafa.
He's had
having a piss.
What's the time? Someone check the time, please.
Mate, don't shake it more than twice. Or why is he playing with it?
So he's holding up four. What's the time? It's 20 to 8. So within 3 hours, Rafa's had four pisses.
And he woke me up this morning when he had a piss at 4:30 a.m.
And now there's starting to become a pattern, because we've mentioned on the podcast before about Rafa's piss stops. That's why it's taken us 7 days to cross the Nullarbor. But that is incredible.
We're definitely getting our leg stretches.
The Salt Lake's filling up. where were we? What were we talking about? Sounds so boring now that Rafa's pissed again.
If our listeners aren't quite up to date with the Wheel Nut Roulette, because it was two episodes or one episode ago, Wheel Nut Roulette is a fun game. Every family could even play this as well, maybe not put the chilies on the kids. So you write your initials or whatever symbol you want on the wheel nut. When you arrive to camp and the vehicle has stopped, the wheel nut that's closest to the bottom is, well, some might call it a winner, but it'll be the loser.
I would definitely call it a loser.
The loser, the one that has to do the challenge, and it could be setting up the entire camp, like you mentioned, or eating a habanero. Of course, he chooses a habanero.
Yeah.
We met a bloke in Adelaide, Benji.
Yeah.
What did he do? He lost wheel nut roulette, didn't he?
Oh, my God.
And he had to do something absolutely horrible.
Yeah, so...
I liked that.
That's when we played the first. This is Jono's game. So we played Wheel Nut Roulette. We went to do a fire run. We came back to Twilight Cove and we parked up. And everyone's running around. Now, because we did dots, we didn't do initials. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's not... Oh, no, it's me.
Dot? How did
we
you...
We had dots. We had like dot dice.
Oh,
but everyone forgot
gotcha,
how many
gotcha,
dots
gotcha.
They were.
Yeah, yeah.
It looked a bit messy. It was with nail polish, so it was kind of a bit smudged and stuff. So it took you a while to figure out. Oh, it's not me.
Who had nail polish?
Rafa's partner.
Right. Liz, say, no worries.
Liz, Liz had the nail polish.
All clear.
It ended up staying in my car too, I think.
Oh.
Anyway, that's why I got my boots on. Can't see it. No, just kidding. So anyway, Benji, the challenge was a sandwich. So every person could pick an ingredient to put into the sandwich. I think my ingredient was, what was my ingredient? I think it was, what was it? Tuna. Yeah, mine was tuna.
I'm all right with that.
Jono's was raw egg. It was on a sandwich.
Okay, not so much.
Then there was some type of chili paste. And then there was garlic paste.
Oh.
And then there was Vegemite. It was disgusting. I had a little bite just to see what it was like. It was just curiosity killed me. Just like the other time with the habanero. Curiosity kills me.
Jeez, mate.
You know?
Do you reckon curiosity would have killed you if Jono picked setting up camp? You just would have helped him? Oh, geez, I just want to get involved with that.
No, I know what that's like, so, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a horrible concoction of a sandwich.
He could still taste it for days. But the funny thing was we had the gourmet camp chef with us, and he wanted to try as well, so there was another half, right? He liked it.
Oh, really?
He thought it was fantastic.
How much garlic paste are we talking?
A lot. We weren't being nice. It was quite mean. We felt bad, but felt good at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Is this a thing where he has to eat the whole thing? Did he eat the whole sandwich?
We let him off after he ate half a sandwich.
Sandwich. And this is, you just crack the egg into the sandwich.
It was the funniest thing ever, man, because he was like chewing it, and he's like, and we're like, what's it like? He's like,
oh.
He's like, well, you know, the garlic just comes back and it says, hello. But then the curry paste goes, I'm here too. The way he described it was, I got to try this.
Yeah, no, I'm like, that sounded all right to me, but I don't, yeah. It sort of ruins the camping experience for me a little bit. It wouldn't set my night up very well.
It was the end of the day. It was actually the end of the trip.
Did we film when I was about to eat the chili? That was camera off, wasn't it? I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was camera off. You were close.
Jono was so persuasive to, like, because he just handled it so well, then Ronnie, I think, thought, oh, I'm going to go for it. It's not going to be too bad. And then
what's
sort
wrong
of
with these chilies?
Early on, you were sort of a bit like, oh, it is hot, but it's not, you know, it's not too bad sort of thing.
That was the end of talking
about. I had one in my hand. I was just going to take a bite because Jono's, he's holding it there saying, it's all good, just have a go. And then I was about to, I had it in my hand, and then I turned back to have a quick look at you, and your head down with like something dripping off your nose. I don't know if it was tears or like your nose had started to run, starting to be in a world of hurt. And I'm so happy I swiveled my head to have a quick look at you at last minute, because I threw that chili straight back in the box and enjoyed the rest of my night, unlike you.
I think the only thing that wasn't leaking was my ears. My eyes, my nose, my mouth. I was trying to hold it together so hard because I wanted you guys to take a bite, because I was like, wow. And I just couldn't stop. It was like a dog looking at someone about to feed it.
Everything was watering.
Just uncontrollable salivation.
Oh, yeah. It was that. Yeah. That was the
I was
reason.
Pretty happy with that. Pretty satisfied.
Wish the camera hadn't just been rolling for that part. That was so funny.
I bet you were, mate.
I was very happy.
Rule Nut Roulette's going to hang
around. You
said
that you would do it if I did it. And then you just did it while me and Duggo were talking. You just bit into it.
I tried a little bit.
Yeah, you did try a little bit.
That Jono didn't say it passed. I didn't try a seed. But even the whatever I tried was bloody hot yesterday morning.
Well, as long as you guys were entertained, you know.
I was entertained, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had a ball.
I love that.
It lasted for about half an hour. It was like being bitten by one of those sergeant ants.
Oh, really? On the tongue?
No, just...
The time it hung around.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, actually, that's... I know someone's been bit on the tongue by a bull ant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I know someone's been bitten on a nutsack. Torben.
Torben did.
He had one crawl up his pants or something.
Oh.
And while he was driving. Yeah. And it was like he felt something up his leg and he's like slapping around, and then it bit him around the groin area while he was driving.
Far out.
Yeah. I wasn't with him at the time, but he did. Yeah.
We're going way off course here, because I want to now. Actually, I'm going to ask him. Keep going off course. What about that story last night that you were telling us about that snake?
Oh.
In the swag?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So,
my brother-in-law,
the oil and gas exploration driller.
Yep.
When he used to do that. Yeah. So they were out camping, I think out in the goldfields like here, or might have been in the Pilbara. And, the old traditional swag that just lays on top of you. So, what had happened was that night, it was pretty cold. So, a snake had gone into one of the swags, and the bloke who was sleeping in the swag, he noticed the snake going in. He knew what it was.
Coming through, yeah.
So, he had to stay awake all night, all morning until it was warm enough outside and the snake buggered off.
Yeah, so he moves in that swag, or tries to get out. Like, if he panics...
Yeah, if he panics, if he moves, you might get tagged, but you don't know what kind of snake it was. It could have been a python, but out here, more likely something venomous.
That would have been the longest night of his life by far, I would have thought.
I would say so. He wouldn't have got much sleep.
And I don't know what sort of tip you can give.
Look,
if you've got one.
I like snakes. I love snakes, but in that situation, you'd be shitting yourself.
He's handled it pretty well, though.
Well, I'm guessing he's still alive now, but he has some really interesting stories, but from out there. But one about a soul lake too, but we'll tell that a bit later, I think. But
maybe on the way out.
let's talk about hygiene, actually.
Yeah, we've been waiting to talk about this on the pod for a long time.
The camp hygiene.
Yeah, we sort of toyed with the idea a little bit, but we thought we could probably do a whole show on it. Just about,
probably could.
But I think it's good to touch on now because I could probably learn a thing or two. I haven't showered since Monday.
Yeah, that's why I'm sitting over here.
Yeah. But you have showered, so you...
Oh, look, I had a shower, was it yesterday?
Hang on, first of all, what day is it now?
Oh, it's Thursday.
So it's been 4 days for you?
4 days. That's not too bad, to be honest.
I haven't been, disgustingly. Like, if I... We stop at a roadhouse, I'll splash my face, and I've got the little on-tap shower that I've rinsed my hair with and stuff like that.
You've been changing?
Been changing, yeah.
Daily?
Day and a half, on average.
Yeah, that's generally 2 days.
Maybe 2 days.
Day and a half.
I'm pretty filthy, put it that way. I'm at that stage now where it's I probably should have had a shower yesterday.
Even the shower at camp, because you're only using a bucket of water, ideally.
Yeah.
When you get home... You're still going to go, oh, that wasn't a tan. That was dirt. So it does, having a shower at camp definitely freshens you up, makes you feel a lot better, especially if it's been quite a few days. So the method that you probably observed the other day was a steel bucket on the fire.
Yep.
Generally about 8 to 9 to 10 litres. That's your buckets.
Yep.
Get one that's pressed, not one that's glued, because they will fail eventually.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can put that straight on the fire. You can heat it up. But the thing is, you can also use that bucket to make other things in it. But you're drawing the water from the bucket with ideally a 12-volt pump, which you can just get from any camp store. So I've got my own makeshift pump, but it's... I had it reversed, actually. So I had the flow going the wrong way. So when I started, I was all undressed, ready to have a shower, and I'm pumping bubbles into the bucket. So I swapped it around. 9 litres will give you a decent shower.
Yep.
If you want to wash your hair, you may want to throw another 4 litres in if you want to do a proper job.
Yeah, righto. Yep.
But I generally wash my hair when I get back. But... Yeah, I wash my hair out, but I don't shampoo it.
So I
just wash myself. I feel really good. So the idea is wet yourself, maybe a litre, half a litre, soap yourself up completely, and then just fingers crossed that shower pump you have doesn't run out of power.
Yeah. So how big does that shower pump? Imagine doing that run.
I used to have a companion one, and it's the size of a coffee mug.
Tiny.
Yeah, and that usually drops in.
Yep.
I've gone through two of those. They do fail eventually.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember once by myself out in the outback. Sometimes I camp by myself. The propeller in it that drives the water into it wasn't spinning. The metal rod inside it was spinning, but the plastic wasn't spinning.
Right.
So it was a cheap one. So I was soaped up, ready to go. No water.
Yeah. Right.
No water coming out the shower. I was by myself, so I could just walk around and. set up a
Were you by yourself, above. Though? You never know who's watching after last night.
Yeah, that's it. You never know. nine litres, that's enough. Yep. But if you want to really save water or you can't be bothered getting it out, it's too cold.
Yep.
The other method is you boil a billy. You can boil a jet boil or whatever. Like you know, yep. Maybe you make a hot tea. Pour your tea, whatever's water's left. Get those microfiber cloths from Bunnings. They're like $10 a bag. Dip it in there into boiling water. That's fine. And then swing it in the air and then touch it. If it's still too hot, give it another swing. And then you can towel dry yourself. It's like when you're on an airplane, you get the hot towel.
Yep.
How good is that?
Yeah, that is nice. Because there is, I mean, I've been using wet ones, sort of baby wipe sort of style stuff, just to at least clean my face and my hands. And
do you rinse off afterwards though? Because they leave like a residue.
No, I don't, and it's been terrible. Like I'd feel less dirty for doing it, but it does. It leaves like a layer on you or something. Yeah. And like
a bit sticky.
Yeah, it's sticky in your hands on the wheel and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know if I need to look into that little shower setup. But then I suppose if you're not going for a serious amount of times or you're camping on fresh water or
You never know what happens though.
Yeah.
So it is good to have. It is actually really good to have. And it doesn't cost much. It doesn't take up much space.
No.
But look, the rag method is really good. Just remember to do your face first.
Yeah.
Before you work your way down.
Yes.
Good point. And then just before bed. Yeah. Just towel dry yourself. And get rid of the rag, put it in your bin bag.
Yeah.
Save it to clean something on your car that's not a workbench or something.
Yeah.
But I just want to point out as well, to anyone listening, I mean, they might be thinking, that's a bit gross. We're pretty hygienic, to be honest. Every time someone goes for a wee, you know, they come back, wash their hands, or they sanitize their hands every single time.
Yeah.
I haven't observed one person who has not done that.
Yeah.
Out of the five of us.
Yeah.
No, and absolutely. I think that's important.
Yeah, 100%. Like you don't have the creature comforts of like you would at home, but it's there's still ways. Like I know I haven't showered in a few days, but
You know you're going home.
Still
right?
brushing my teeth. I know I'm on the way home. Yeah. I've used the wet ones, although I haven't rinsed it off, but you know, I'm forever under your tap or under mine, just giving the hands a rinse and even the arms, like the dust just collects, you just wipe it off. There are different options. You don't have to have a shower, of course. Some people love not. I know that, you know those people that just love the dusty, dirty feeling of camping?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't need to worry about a shower.
I can get to that too, and I do enjoy that.
I'm probably there at the moment.
You just got to get like down with the dirt. I'm not like that right now.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going home pretty soon. So, but if I knew I was going to be out here for a bit longer, it's a way of just committing to not being worried about it.
Yep, 100%. I agree.
It's the best way. I reckon the hardest part for most people is 2 days in. You feel like you want to shower.
Yeah.
And then the longer you go, the easier it is. But then it does get to, like, say, day eight. You're going to want to clean yourself up.
Yeah, yep. What about your bedding inside the... It's probably down the hygiene lines, but say when you get home later on today... The bedding that sits up in the roof conversion.
Yeah.
Will you strip that out, give it a wash, clean, or will you leave it in there and wait and just use it next time?
Every trip I don't wash it. I make sure I'm clean before I get up.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Look, if I took the kids with me and we're at the beach or we're here and then they got the rooftop and I got the swag.
Yep.
I'll then clean it because it'll be filthy.
Yeah,
you know?
Kids bringing stuff in, yep.
Yeah, but I'm very conscious of, what goes out there with me.
Yep.
And I use the bedding. I've got 4 sheep pelts sewed together and that's what I lay on top of.
Right.
It is amazing. If it's hot, it's still good. If it's cold, it's very good.
Yeah, right.
And if it gets too cold, I can just put it over me.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah, right. I've seen the edge of it, but I haven't actually looked up and in. I'll have to check that out. I don't know what I'll do with the swag. I'll leave the sleeping bag in there now.
Yeah.
I've got a sheet on the mattress, though, just to...
Yeah, sheet on a mattress is good.
Keep that sort of tidy and a little bit more like a bed, but I love jumping into that thing. Like you say, make sure you're clean and you don't... The worst thing is getting out in the morning... spending the rest of the day mucking around, and then you get back in the swag and it's just like you feel it down at your feet, like all the grainy sand and
That's where talcum powder.
Oh, that's the old trick.
Trust me, talcum powder is the bomb.
Yeah.
For sand. It just comes off.
Yeah.
And it smells nice too.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The shower is one that I'm going to definitely look into, but...
Didn't you forget your toothbrush? You had to buy one?
No, I forgot to buy one. I've knocked that into my tub somewhere and I think it's under something.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have... Definitely wasn't on the ground when we left.
Yeah.
I remember putting it on the edge of my tub, just on the... it'll be in there somewhere. But I'm just... At the moment, I'm... this isn't good, but I'm just, like, eating toothpaste to brush my teeth. I am sound like a grub.
If it's really bad, you can also get some charcoal from the fire, like, just, you know, from the real thin bits of wood.
Yeah.
And you can rub that in your mouth.
Really?
Yeah, it gets that furry thing out.
Oh, right.
It also gets the taste out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it would taste burnt afterwards, but
I didn't know that.
It kind of cleans it out. I mean, they even sell toothpaste with charcoal in it these days, you know?
Oh, actually, I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's a good cleaner. Just don't go too hard.
Oh, there you go. I didn't actually know that. There was something else I was going to mention about my setup, but no, I just kissed the mic again.
I think talking about hygiene and your setup, you have a canopy that is canvas.
Yep.
Right, so dust is going to get in there. You are forever going to be dusty when you grab stuff.
Yeah, every time I touch stuff. It. Yeah.
However, everything inside the boxes is fine. I can relate to that with my 79 Ute.
Yep.
Everything just goes in the back. It gets super dusty. But the thing is, you set up your swag, then you go wash your hands.
Yeah.
You don't go wash your hands in between.
Yeah.
You do your task and you commit to the dirt. And just, if you want to save on water, just time when you're going to wash your hands.
Yeah. No, yeah. I like that. I like it. We can keep going forever on hygiene, but... I think we park it.
Park it?
I think we park it. I feel like it's a time to park it, and we maybe head to the newly sponsored segment around the fire pit.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to you by Maxxis Tyres. Very grateful to be on board.
Yep, Maxxis Razors. I've got the MTs.
That's them over there.
Yep.
Looking mean. But we've actually got a few questions out here.
Done
on the Salt
Lake. Done a few K's on this trip.
I think, we've got a couple of questions to come. They may be from some of the crew that we're travelling with. If there's three questions, I'm going to guarantee you that it's from the three people that we're travelling with. Because, again, we've got no service to check any of the lines. But
you heard that sound. That was a chair, not me.
I got done with that the other night back at the Adelaide Forward Drive Show. Yeah, that's what happened to me too.
Lying.
Anyway, the Forward Drive podcast driven by Shelter.
Well, it's that time now around the fire pit. Sponsored by Maxxis. Brought to you by Maxxis.
We haven't decided on that yet, have we?
No, we haven't. Get a grip.
Get a grip with Maxxis, I like that one. I don't know if they like that one, but I like that one.
Or, the old debate, MT versus AT.
Mm.
Mud terrain versus all terrain. What are you going to go?
Mud.
Going to go mud? Yeah.
I'm going to try mud. Never tried mud. Mud tyres.
Yeah, they're very quiet, these ones. For a mud terrain, they're quiet. I think you'd be quite pleased. But to be honest, on a Troopy or a 70 series, you could put tractor tyres.
Yeah.
And you could still hear everything else.
Yeah, I'll take Jono's word for it though. He did second that, and in the FJ Cruiser, so
he's got the same size where you're going.
Oh yeah, righto. Yeah, yeah.
But it's it's that time for the questions around the fire pit.
And I know the fire pit isn't here.
It was over there.
It was over there, but tell you what, the fireball in the sky is starting to really heat up now.
It is.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Let's get moving, boys.
Let's get moving. Jane's already a little bit sunburned on the neck. So.
You guys wanted to stay on the side.
Rafa! What are you doing?
Are you kidding me?
This can't be real.
Oh, my God.
This can't be real.
How much water is he drinking?
Right, look, No joke.
This is legit.
Rafa's going.
And he's not standing there for like 3 seconds. Like,
yeah, these are long pisses.
Jeez.
Hey, Rafa, how many is that now?
He's got a handful.
Five.
Just make sure you wash and sanitize your hands, mate.
All right,
just talking about hygiene over here.
Yes, sanitise those hands. That's what our set looks like at the moment. Anyway, I'll put this away.
Yep. All right. Well, let's get into it before...
Far out.
Rafa needs to go to the toilet again.
Or this sun.
Yeah, or this sun melts everything.
I mean, these boys are struggling, so...
All right.
We'll get going.
It's great. Yeah.
First question for you, Duggo. What's your ideal camp setup or your like ideal kind of car, truck, whatever, droopy?
Nah, I'm pointing at the swag. Nah, I'm pointing at the droopy. Nah, that is honestly, that's probably the dream for something that's very capable off-road, take you anywhere, get the comfort of a rooftop tent without actually... carrying one on the roof racks and losing any roof space. It's just all that being traveling with you, the two troopies. Yeah, definitely that would be probably the best setup that I could think of. But in saying that, is it the best for me at the moment or what I see myself going forward with? I don't know. I want to try it one day for sure, but it's a big thing just to try because there's a, you know, a lot of coin that goes into them as well. So
it's a big commitment.
It is, yeah. Yep.
So, look, having best of both worlds, when I say best of both worlds, it's all to what we like. So my best of both worlds may not be for someone else. Someone else's best of both worlds will be a caravan,
yep,
and maybe a cabin, right?
Yep.
For me, having two vehicles so I can jump from a rooftop and then I can go back to the 79 with the tray and be down to earth by being on the ground again. It's I love that I'm able to do that. If I had to pick the setup, to be honest, if I could only pick one of them, and I absolutely love that troopy driving across, and it is the best option when you're going across the Nullarbor and you're going around. It is the best option to go into a camp and pop it up. But I really love rolling out a swag, for example, on a salt lake like this. Sometimes, like last night, I almost felt like I was missing out on setting up camp in a way,
right?
Because when you're like rolling out the swag, you got the fire roaring in the background and it's just a simple life. And that's kind of why we come out here. This makes a simple life a lot easier,
yep,
and luxurious, and it's awesome.
Yep.
I love it, but if I could only do one thing out of those two options,
yeah,
I think I would end up back at the swag on the ground.
Yeah, righto. It's interesting you say that because I've the only thing that I play around with at the moment is how I set things up in the back of the ute. So I've gone back to a swag from a rooftop tent because the rooftop tent just wasn't working for me for a couple of different reasons. But just playing around with the setup in the back of the tub has made me fall in love with that setup a little bit more even. So yeah. I obviously chose that for a reason, but having the swag rolling that out, like you say, it's on the roof, it's out of the way. I've cleared up so much space just by changing a few things around and how I set things up. And we've got more gear than I came over with because picked up Jaden and, you know, we've got camera bags now and suitcases and we've still got a couple of Four Wheel Drive podcast shirts still available. But I've got more space just from packing it a different way. So I've fallen back in love with
it's amazing.
My setup again.
You change it a little bit.
As soon as you started talking about that, one of my favourite sayings, comparison is the thief of joy.
For sure.
It's not always greener on the other side sort of thing.
No,
so it's sort of like,
it isn't. That's right.
You can look at these and be like, oh, gee whiz, I'd love to be doing it that way. But then look at what you've already got. If you're not happy with it, play around with it a little bit, see if you can find a different way. But
that's awesome what you just said. It's like play around with what you got.
Yeah.
Because just rearranging it just changes everything.
Yeah, it's given me, it feels like I've got a different canopy purely for that. And I feel like I'm starting to access everything in that canopy a little bit easier. So I'm just using things more than I ever have because they're easy to get to.
So I think he's keeping a Ranger now.
I think I
reckon Boston Beyond.
That's why,
it's on a t-shirt.
I'm loving the car though, aren't I? Like,
yeah, the car is great. You are having a great time in it.
Yeah, like it's just, I'm just backing it. I'll just back it in.
When I was sitting behind your Ranger as well, I was really digging the whole canvas thing. It just, you know, look, I do like the utes with the big aluminium canopy and all that stuff on it. They look cool, the wheels hang off the back.
Yeah.
But I reckon that there, like, it sort of, I don't know, it just sings like outback sort of travel, especially when you got all the dust that's stuck to the canvas.
Yeah, that looks all right, eh?
I really dig it.
Yeah. And I mean, seeing Mitch and Jess from Wandering Oz, their canopy is probably like my favourite that I've seen. It's really, it's just really clean. I like that they've kept it nice and simple in there, and there's big spaces that they can fill with boxes or carry bags and stuff like that. I love that. I'd 100% go that as well. And that would probably be before I went something like a Troopy, albeit that being the dream potentially. But
It's funny though, the grass is always green on the other side. So say if I was sitting out here and we're doing the same podcast right now and I had the 79 and the swag, I may be saying the opposite, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know I have that option. So it's hard for me to say, hey, this is what it is.
Yeah.
But there's no denying that I love rolling out a swag.
Yeah.
And
There's something about it.
Just sitting on the dirt.
You were taking a few pictures of the Wandering Oz setup.
I like that a lot. Yeah, I like that a lot. So that's, but I think that the last three nights, camping, yeah, like I'm pretty happy with what I've got. Like it's definitely everything I need, and especially I can just take it all out, put it in the shed when I get home, and then I'm taking the dogs for a run tonight, and they've got plenty of space. And
just having the versatility, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, if your setup is cluttered, it doesn't mean you need more space. It means you're bringing too much shit.
Yeah, good point.
And that's something that people need to realise. It took me a long time to realise.
Yeah.
So I think, have we got one more question, or can I keep going? Can I ask a question here?
Ask a question, all right, mate.
So Duggo, you can throw a different question or the same one back at me. What have you brought that you didn't use?
Yeah.
And what have you brought that you definitely used?
So it's interesting because...
Surfboard.
The surfboard I have.
Yeah. I was talking to John about it. Swell here. Surfboards out there?
I hope there's a bit of swell here.
Did you go to Wave Rock?
True.
Get that.
I didn't even get a lot of swell on the East Coast when I was over there. But anyway, I'm not a very good surfer by any means.
Max Trax.
I haven't used a Max Trax yet.
Well...
We're not off the Salt Lake yet.
We haven't really... Seek adventure. I mean, it is adventurous driving along the air highway and coming to a place like this and stuff.
The spots that we've stayed, but it's been sort of quite easy. I haven't, to be honest, everything on top of my drawers I've used. So,
Everything under then?
Yeah, so I've only used the front two boxes, which are my kitchen boxes. So,
okay.
One's sort of pots and pans and clean up.
All right.
And the other one's just... So plates, knives, forks.
There's six boxes down there.
Six boxes down there.
Our listeners can sort of gauge that. So you have a drawer that pulls out.
Yep.
And there's six boxes.
Yep.
It's a really cool way to... Lightweight as well.
Yep.
So what's in the other four boxes?
So there's tools. One's tools, one's recovery gear.
Okay. Well, you need that.
Yep.
Just in case.
So they're needed, yeah. But haven't...
Are they right at the back then?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I've tried to put the heaviest ones towards sort of... the middle of the car a little bit more to help with weight distribution, but
over the rear axle.
So it's just kitchen at the front. I've got tools, Max Trax gear, and then one's like drill,
like power tools,
and the chargers and stuff like that, which is quite empty. Like there's a drill and a little blower in there with two different batteries.
Another good thing to bring up, you don't... Just because you have a box doesn't mean you need to fill it.
No, and then that's what I sort of probably made that mistake a little bit. I just sort of packed bits and pieces in. Mm. The one thing I don't carry with me if I was doing more remote travel and I wasn't with someone or a crew, spare parts is probably one thing I'm lacking in. So I would have to probably... And I wouldn't know a lot about what to bring or how to fit things, but at least having them like...
Depends on how remote you go and what you might encounter.
And, great point that Mitch said when he was doing his talk on the Amberdale Highway is even if he doesn't know how to fit it, if he carries them, someone may come along and know how to, or he might be able to pull into a roadhouse and they might be able to help him and they mightn't have the part, but they can actually fit it. So bring it with you. But I'll throw it back at you, mate. Like what's something that maybe what you have instead of what you haven't used, what's something that you've used?
Okay.
So much that you didn't think you would.
I would say, because I don't have any fire cooking gear with me, I would say I've used that gas cooker a lot. Most of the meals we sort of prepared all around our kitchen. That kitchen has been awesome. And that's probably one thing I'm lacking if I have the ute and the 79. Like I said before, there's nothing better beats rolling out a swag.
Yeah.
However, when you go to cooking and stuff, That's probably the worst part. If you're working out of boxes and you don't really have anywhere to prepare it, if you have a tray, not too bad with a tailgate. That's where the Troopy really has stood out for me. Yep. It's like having that kitchen bench. Everything's just right there. All your utensils, everything, pots and pans, everything. We've mainly been using that space,
yep.
Which has been great. I think there's not much in that Troopy that I haven't used. I'm pretty happy with what I've got in there. And I've gone a bare bones, to be honest. Yep. I haven't actually packed for like a proper trip because I drove over to Sydney and then I was meant to grab some stuff there. So, stuff I haven't used. You know, the only stuff we haven't used on the way back to Perth is really our camera gear, which has been quite refreshing. It's having a little bit of a break.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And everything's got a spot in the Troopy, which is cool. Once you sort of do pack up, everything fits nicely in a designated space.
Honestly, I think I've jagged it. I think I've jagged it. Like, not bringing too much stuff.
Yeah.
I normally bring too much.
Yeah.
I can't bring anything. John, if you think of something, just put your hand up a bit later and just let me know, because I can't think of anything.
Yeah.
Solar blanket.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't used a solar blanket. Because we're constantly moving.
Yeah. I had to pull mine out for an Arvo, but...
Yeah. Now I feel better. I found something.
Good. You got something.
There we go. I feel like that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
You guys happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. The one thing I do want to add that I was wanting to talk about... and we're going to take this sort of back to where we started with the beginner versus the expert sort of style of thing. We were chatting yesterday, Jade and I, on the how confident I am. We haven't done any hard stretch of track or anything like that. It's all been very simple and stuff that I've done before. But just the confidence in travelling with someone that is very experienced in four-wheel driving, camping, all of this stuff. I suppose I'm going there because my advice to someone that wants to get into it or is just getting started or building a car for the first time is there's always someone you know that is into this into this stuff and is either good at it or handy on the tools or...
You can reach out.
You can reach out. But I just the confidence that it's filled us with traveling with you guys, if something was to go wrong, we've got... You know, we've got help. We've got someone that's probably been in the situation before and can help us out of it. So it's just like it's so different to solo traveling, or traveling with people that are all new to it. So I wanted to throw that out there for people that are listening or coming on board to four wheel driving for the first time.
It's not a bad thing to bring up.
Find your mates that have done it before and know a bit better than you. There's no sort of.
Because if you are travelling with a bunch of people that never travelled before, you kind of feel like responsible for them, as well.
Yeah, 100%.
So, you know, for example, if you're doing like a big trip and then a mate brings a mate and, you know, you've all talked about preparing the cars, but they haven't really prepared the car.
Yeah.
I know John has told me a few stories about, you know, they did a Cape York trip and there was a few people that hadn't actually serviced their car and stuff and things went wrong.
Yeah.
But and then it falls back on a group, it slows everyone down, they've got to sort it out. But you know, it's an experience, right?
Yep.
So I get what you're saying. Like having more people with you, you definitely feel more comfortable something should go wrong.
Yeah.
When you're on your own, there's some things you wouldn't do.
Yep.
And if you're questioning should I do this, probably don't do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good. Just lean on your mates, I suppose, or lean on us if you've got stuff as well, because obviously these around the fire pit, we usually do in studio and the questions like this that we like to answer, or especially you, mate. So we'll wrap it up there.
It's actually one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
We got, in Adelaide, we got a good suggestion. Send in your voice messages. We can play those on the podcast. Yeah. If you've got voice messages you want to send in, you want to ask us a question, send those in, email it to us, send it through on Instagram.
Yeah,
and we'll answer those. But send your questions in as well.
Could we also ask people to, like, you know, for example, my name is Tim. I'm an astronomer. Yeah. This is the type of car I'm driving.
Yeah, Tim, please get in touch with us. We need to know.
I'm just using that as an example, so anyone could really just leave us a message about the car. We'd love to hear about the type of travel they do and their car, what year it is, and all that.
Yeah, even if it's not a question, just send us in your setups.
Just talk to us.
Yeah, just have a chat.
Just have a yarn.
Let's wrap this up. I'm boiling. The wind started to pick up a little bit there, so...
And I got caught in my tracksuit pants.
What got caught?
That's never happened before.
Oh, you got caught on camera in your tracksuit pants. Oh, I was like, what got caught in tracky pants? all right, let's wrap it up from Salt Lake City here. Thank you to Shelter. We're the 4WD podcast driven by Shelter. Thank you to Maxis on board. Thank you to Southern River Band, Let It Ride, seeing us out. Thank you to Jono, Rafa, Jaden, Ronnie. I've had a ball, so this has been great. It'll be sad to part
thanks
ways.
Thanks to all the boys joining us, and thanks to you, Liam.
Yeah, been good fun. 4WD podcast driven by Shelter. Thank you very much.
700Ks, Johan.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.